Okay, call the meeting to order. Entertain a motion to accept the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to look at them?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Any discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I didn't have anything to do with writing these minutes, right?
These minutes? No.
Yeah, makes sense.
You did not. Okay, so in your packet, we have the RFP scoring, including directions from Carol. If everyone could pull it and look at it, because this is something I want to discuss. The RFP should be back on Thursday. Hi, Jeanette. I spoke to Mark Ryder today and spoke to Carol yesterday. One firm officially noticed us that they're interested in responding, and several firms have, other firms that did not notice us have asked questions. So it could be a very small response. It could be a large response. One thing that's important to note, and when I spoke to Mark today, we thought it was important to get this out there, is that in the event that only one firm responds, which he says happens more often than you would maybe expect, it's still important to do the scoring as if there were multiple firms. Because just one firm responds doesn't mean we have to accept them, and we should be scoring them as if we're scoring them against others and having a discussion, the subsequent discussion as such. So just because one firm responds doesn't mean that we have to take that firm. And that doesn't mean only one firm is going to respond. I don't
know. You should form on a criteria.
Absolutely, that's the point. We should proceed as if many responded. We score in the same manner. So that brings us to the scoring. If you can look at the second page.
They have only one person scoring.
They have one person that's notified us that they're interested or they're planning on submitting.
Some of you may have it at the last page.
But several other firms have asked questions.
Was it the scoring sheet?
Yeah. Oh, so I had it as the first. Some might have it as last. If we could look at the scoring sheet. The scoring sheet, this is the typical, the breakout of the points is how the county typically breaks out the points. We, right now, at this meeting, can decide to change these percentages if we would like, minus number 5, local economic development. That cannot be adjusted. That five points max has to stay, and we can't amend that. But if we want to lend more points to a different category than
Why does that have to stay?
It's by our local policy, the policy that we adopted.
And the
county purchasing policy.
Well, because, one of the major things is in New York, there's really nobody that's really done studies dealing with rail and trail being together. I mean, there hasn't been really any of them accomplished in New York as they have in other states.
It's only 5
states.
Points. I mean, okay. So... But we can't move that. But I think we should go through the other four categories and just confirm that we want them to stay at this percentage, and if not, discuss the possibility of change.
Is she adding something or?
We.
Did you're talking behind and.
What? I'm sorry, I missed.
I mean, she's talking behind us, and I would appreciate it if she didn't.
Okay, I didn't hear. So, okay. Moving on. Let's look at number 1 is the overall plan to provide required services. And then we see the breakout, and right now that's a maximum of 30 points. We have the fee and pricing proposal, which is a maximum of 30 points.
Same to 5.
Hmm?
Same to 5.
Yeah, close.
It does for me, too.
Yeah, me too.
Considering that we know what the price...
Swap fees and pricing with qualifications experience, because qualifications and experience, to me, shouldn't be lower than the pricing.
Agreed.
I agree.
Same thing with number 4, understanding the county's goals and objectives is only worth 10 points, and I think that should be higher.
Okay, so let's talk about how we might... want to move things. So if we agree, generally speaking, that the fee and pricing proposal points are too high, if we were to assign several of those points to qualifications and experience and or the understanding of the county's goals and objectives, does anyone want to make a specific suggestion about that breakout? Yeah. Legislator Rock. Herbert.
Drop the fee and pricing to 15 points.
Okay.
Increase the qualification and experience to 35 points. And increase the understanding of the county goals and objectives to 20 points.
Okay, working with that suggestion, just for myself, the qualifications and experience, I don't know that I want that higher than the plan, the overall plan.
Doesn't that make us 5 points over 100?
Was it?
Yeah.
Experience.
Yeah. I had written fee and pricing at 15, qualifications and experience at 30, understanding at 20.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah, that I could go with.
Agreed.
How does everybody feel about that change?
Sounds good.
Any other thoughts?
Make a motion to accept it.
Okay.
I just got one question about number one.
Yes.
Okay, so completeness of responders' proposed plan to provide consulting services. That means that we understand that they can consult on this issue. That they're qualified to consult on it.
No, completeness of the plan would be that their proposal meets all of the requirements that we had placed in the RFP.
Well, you're then it's not that's the proposal in demonstrates
the firm has the capability to satisfactorily meet not only the requirements outlined.
Well, the proposal demonstrates that would then be their qualifications to achieve the goals that they stated above. You know,
okay.
And also there's some different that they're just in my experience on the audit committee. I mean, there's some in terms of the plans, the way that firms lay out their approach to the given project sometimes differ pretty greatly.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways that I looked at that in terms of with focus on plan. So that's how I separated that from qualifications. The qualifications to me, and I would expect in this case, they're pretty straightforward. I mean, they're going to go, I would expect that they're going to give us the equivalent of a resume or a CV of both the firm and the individuals in the firm that they're assigning to the project.
Usually in the qualifications section, they provide, at least in my experience when I was on the audit committee with you, they'll provide examples of their other work.
Yep, of similar work and some not so similar work, just a broad range. So, any other questions, concerns? Okay. So
it
we had a
was kind of taken back that economic development is only 5 points.
Where are you?
That's the last one.
Well, it's not economic development impact. It's that's the economic benefit of using a local company, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's if you're in Ulster County, you get 5 points. If you're it's not
it's
negotiable.
A very specific set of circumstances.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just
within
economic development.
No.
It's the one score that all of us should have identical.
Oh, well.
If they're not identical, someone's made a mistake.
Right.
So.
You get 5 points for being an Ulster County firm, what do you get for being in Dutchess County?
Three. Vendors located in a contiguous county, Columbia, Dutchess, Orange, Sullivan, Delaware, Green, will receive three.
Right.
Vendors located in New York State.
Or New York State, okay.
So it's just,
I didn't read the last line.
It's X, Y, Z, period. Okay, so.
Go over the first four, but we finalized.
Yeah. Okay, so we're just to reiterate, the motion that's on the table is changing number two, fee pricing to 15 points, a maximum of 15 points. Number three, qualifications and experience to a maximum of 30 points. And number four, understanding the county's goals and objectives to a maximum of 20 points.
So you're going to officially send that out, right?
It'll be
there's
in your packet.
There's going to be a scoring sheet that goes out with the scoring packet.
Oh. I thought this was it.
Okay, that's right. Okay. All in favor of the change?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. So
Now, the number four, let me ask a question on that.
Do you want to go through from the beginning?
All right, we'll
Jim
go
wanted
yep,
to go through. Okay. Jim, you wanted to go through point by point? Is that what you...
No, I think you wanted to clear up what point...
Oh, what the numbers were.
What the shift was.
Oh, okay. Okay, Dave, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Your question on number four.
Well, did you want to go through each one of these first or no?
I mean, would you ask if anybody has any issues with them? I mean, that would be, rather than going through them just to go through them.
Yeah. I mean, well, does anyone have any questions on any of the five?
Yeah, the fourth one, okay. I was trying to figure out exactly when you're talking about the responder understands and proposes, addresses the needs of the county and offers programs that will meet or exceed the county's objectives. What are the county's objectives?
As we laid out in
As
the
we
RFP.
Laid out in the RFP.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to the point of questions, another thing to bring up, and you'll see in your packet, which if you can do it today, that's great. There's a confidentiality agreement. You'd leave them with Fawn. If not, you're going to have to sign it when you pick up your packet or when your packet's delivered to you on Friday, which we'll talk about in a minute. If you have questions as you are scoring the proposals, you need to call Mark Ryder or Carol. Carol's going to be out for a period of time. We cannot and should not talk amongst ourselves at all until we meet around the table. And that includes asking each other kind of technical questions because...
Or anyone else. For
them. Or anyone else, of course, yeah. That's the confidentiality agreement.
With anyone else, yeah, other than Carol, yeah.
No, it's a good point. Yeah, I self-evident, but it's a good point. So any questions should be directed to the purchasing department. And, again, in my experience, I did have questions the last time around. I had questions on the weekend. I called Carol on her cell phone. She was great. But do not ask other members of the committee. Do not discuss with anyone else. So, yes, Carl.
References will be checked by us.
Where? What are you referring to? Right?
I'm sorry. On three, qualifications and experience. Okay. References will be checked separately. So is that our responsibility to check? I mean, is there going to be references in the packet?
There are
references. Check the references. Yeah, I was checking them.
There are references in the packet.
Everything. I would assume purchasing.
Yeah, purchasing, I would assume. But I'll clarify that, too.
Well, you think maybe we need the legislature to check?
We can, yeah.
I would prefer the legislature to do it.
If you're checking a reference...
Hmm?
It's not like an employer-employee thing where you can't actually ask them certain things. We can ask them anything about their business as it relates to their RFP.
Right, and we may want to call someone, a respondent. We have interviews. You have one or more. That'll be up to us. But, yes, to the references, I'll clarify with Carol tomorrow and through phone.
Manna Joe. Hello, Manna. Yes. I'm at it right now, in fact, Manna.
Hi, Manna.
Ken Ron said hello to you. Well,
okay, I hear.
Manna's on her way.
Manna's on her way. Okay. So I will confirm about the references with Carol tomorrow and send through Fawn the answer to the committee as a whole, but certainly... if it'll give members of the committee more comfort, we can have the legislative clerk's office make calls on the references as well.
I think
they
should be doing the
references. I don't know if we can. Wouldn't that be divulging part of the RFP to somebody who's not on the committee? I don't know.
Well, you're doing it. You're still doing it anyway.
Maybe I could sit with Carol. I mean... She normally does. I'm sure
Let me find out how it's normally done.
I mean, Dave, this is what
well, you can
this
do
is
it.
What Carol does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's confidentiality there too.
Yeah. Yeah, let me find out what's normally done and I'll let everybody know tomorrow. It shouldn't affect our scoring, which is the next step. I mean, that's going to be happening at the end of the week,
right.
So.
I mean, I'm not uncomfortable with it, but making a personal call to someone's reference from my home, what's going to make them want to, you know, believe I am who I am? You know?
No, you wouldn't do it. That's what I meant. The clerk and legislature can do that also.
Well, okay, I understand that, you know. I mean, people call me every day and tell me they want me to do this or do that or buy this or buy that.
I'm
intimidated by the fact that, you know, you're looking into someone's personal business affairs and you're asking their references questions. So are they going to know who we are? I mean, like, if we get more than one response.
Well, they call and they respond.
Okay, hold on, let's back and forth. Can I just respond to this from my experience? Let Jeanette go first and then I'll respond.
I was just going to say, when purchasing sends out the request for proposal and they respond, there's certain criteria they respond to. And they would not be here as a bidder if purchasing hasn't checked out their credentials. That's what they do. You can't just have anybody just write and say.
But we're grading them on.
What is going to be in a proposal? When you look at it, you will see what their experience is.
But the reason that
has been checked by the purchasing department.
Oh, the references will be checked by the purchasing department, and they'll give us.
We're going to get clarification on that. But regardless of that. The fact that this is in parentheses will be checked separately. I believe that is there to say that you judge the proposal based on whether there are references present and not based on the references that are then checked. So the question is, do they have references that they put down on their proposal?
Right. Which I will get an answer to this and distribute the answer to the whole committee in terms of how you apply that references to your judging and how the references get checked. But I just want to say from a personal experience again on the audit committee, I called Carol. There was one proposal where I called Carol and I had questions about one of the references and I said to her, can I call the references and ask them questions? And she said, yes, you can. Me, one legislator from home. So I'll get clarification, but that was the answer, yes.
From my past experience of doing this several hundred times, when you get a proposal, they'll put their experience down. They'll have past projects. Mm-hmm. They'll typically put the engineer in charge or the project manager with their name and telephone number as a reference. Mm-hmm. And any of the committee members mm-hmm. have the rights to call them and check that reference.
Yeah.
Anyone outside of the committee usually was not allowed to call them and check their reference.
Okay. I will definitely confirm that. But that goes to my point with that when I asked Carol if I could call, she said I could call anyone I wanted. So, but we'll get an answer to that. So, Mark assured me they're coming in on Thursday. He will have them ready early Friday. They'll be ready for pickup early Friday. Fawn is going to deliver some of them. I guess we need to just clarify, and you can do that directly with Fawn after the meeting or whenever, how you're going to get your packet, whether you're able to come in and pick it up, whether you need it delivered, how you need to get it. Because
we have to pick it up on
Friday. Well, by end of day. Yeah. And as soon as I know Friday morning how many proposals there are, I will circulate that information as well, so you know what to expect. You know whether you're getting one or seven, because that's going to be a very, it's going to be a very big difference in terms of your time commitment, in terms of going through it. The next thing we need to discuss is the meeting to review it, which, depending on how soon the turn is, we might actually call in people for that meeting if we need to, meaning the companies that are proposing if we need to interview them. So we had been discussing the 10th, which is Thursday. Both Jeanette and I cannot make the 10th. I don't know if anyone else has a problem with the 10th. Another point is Carol Armstrong is out from the 8th to the 11th, and then again the 16th to the 18th. So we don't have to work around her schedule, though I do think she's an asset to the process, having been through it with her one time. I'm sure Mark would be able to take over. So what I wanted to suggest as a possibility first is we'd need to be prepared for a very long night, but if we do not have a lot of proposals, if we're looking at two or less, three or less, doing it on the 9th, where we're going to be here with Ways and Means and Caucus
as well. I can't do it on the 9th.
And Workplace Violence.
And that's too much to combine with other meetings. This should
okay.
be a,
what about the 14th?
Its own meeting.
I could do the 14th.
It's a Monday. It's Laws and Rules Day. Mm-hmm. If we could do it earlier than Laws and Rules.
We had
a tentative
schedule before.
But Herb had a problem.
I can't do the 14th.
You can't.
At all? One other thing that
Unless you want to come to Ireland.
Ireland? I would love to come to Ireland, but I don't think the case is going
to
be there.
For you, it has to be earlier than... when do you leave for Ireland?
14th.
Oh,
on the 14th.
No.
I thought the 16th.
I leave on the 16th.
Okay.
14th is good then.
So 14th is possible. One other thing to keep in mind, just because whatever date we pick might not work for everyone, your scoring sheets and your written submittal will be considered even if you're not here. Carol said she's done that before, and that's what you can't do if you're not here is be a part of the back and forth, which that's an important part of the process.
And if there are interviews, I can tell you that we found the interviews on the audit committee to be outrageously important because the proposals did not necessarily match what we felt in the interviews. So.
Yeah, that's true.
And just so I understand, but not being here really hurts the process.
I do think.
You have to give them the max?
No.
No, it's based on the proposal.
It's based on the proposal, so you'd give, I mean, whatever you, however you would score.
If you're not here, wouldn't they just carry the max numbers?
No, we'd be looking at your scoring sheets. So whatever numbers you had given, that would be your number.
You have the option to hear the conversation.
And the opportunity to explain the numbers.
Right, and it's especially relevant when there's more than one.
Well, you have an interview. Do you change the numbers?
We didn't change the numbers, but it certainly changed our approach on the audit committee. The interview changed. The scoring remained the same, but you don't necessarily pick the one with the highest score. It doesn't always work out that way. If that makes sense.
14th.
Okay. Could you make 4:30? There's a tentative meeting scheduled.
Laws and Rules is what, 6:30?
6. Maybe we could get Laws and Rules pushed a little bit.
Could you come at 4:30? On the 14th?
It'd cost me a few $100 to take an afternoon off of work.
Give me a 14-foot rail, extra rail.
Well, what's good for you? Pick a day.
Thursday was perfect.
It's primary day. I'm sorry.
Friday.
What about the Friday?
Friday the 11th.
We are not. Friday's perfect for me, but we're not allowed to have a meeting
September 11th,
which I voted against.
Oh, 9/11. Oh my God.
You know, normally I could take a half a day or something, but I have a blackout from the 1st till the 9th, till the 18th because school's starting. That's our business.
Well, depending on how many, what about the 8th?
Unless I'm sick, I can't take an hour off.
How long is
depending on the how many the 8th would work for me too.
What's our legislative session look like?
The session is even worse than caucus day.
Yeah.
That's a, I mean, if I'd say caucus
what about
day.
The 8th for everybody, depending on how many we have.
8th is fine with me.
8th.
We have legislative programs on the 8th at 5.
That's at the Strive building.
And then 6 is Railroad Advisory.
They're doing a tour of the Strive building.
This is really a challenge.
Well, you could do it right after that.
Can we make it a little later than 4:30?
The other meeting.
Yeah, what's a good time for you?
And do it after. What are you doing?
I thought 6 was totally.
It
was an accident on the throughway.
I have to see what's on the agenda.
Well, why don't we do 6?
6 would be good.
Yeah, see what's on my agenda. If I can do something about it, I can shift it around.
Okay. Wait, Dave is also suggesting on the 8th, it would be great to get it done sooner, and Dave is saying that on the 8th we have 5 o'clock legislative programs, phones running to check, and 6 o'clock railroad advisory, which potentially he could move the railroad advisory one. And
you have 3 youth board appointments and something for Office for the Aging.
Legislative programs?
Is this on the 14th you're
talking about? Talking about the 8th, no.
He said the 14th at 6 o'clock is fine.
Except that...
But 6 o'clock isn't good. It's Laws and Rules. Laws and Rules isn't going to be able to move because it's the day before session.
Yeah, they
and it could be a long meeting. There could be a whole bunch of stuff on their agenda. Laws and rules, I mean, I don't, it's like asking
them to wait. We can meet there.
And let me tell you, the other benefit, if we can make the 8th happen, the other benefit, the great thing is if you can't do 8th. Well, because the good thing is if we have very few, or even if we have very few, it'll be fast. If we have many and we need interviews, we could potentially have interviews on the 14th or the 10th, even without Jeanette and I. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have options then of follow-up before
Herb's
gone.
I could do it on the 8th early, but I know Herb can't necessarily get up here early. So.
How early?
As possible. I mean, I've got some place I have to be down in Southern Orange County at 7.
So you'd have to leave by 6 o'clock.
Could you do it at 4?
Yeah, but Herb can't do it at
4. It's fine. If I'm the only one who can't make it on the 8th, then I'll just give him my scoring sheet.
Where does everyone else stand on the 8th, and what time could they do?
I could do 4:30 on the dot.
Well, we have a 5 o'clock meeting that we can probably do that kind of like move it along quick. It's a youth board meeting. I mean, youth board appointments. I don't think they're going to be.
Can you move the whole meeting to a different day if it's just youth board appointments?
Well, there's one resolution for Office for the Aging. Some kind of funding for Office for the Aging.
We could also probably ask for Sherry to hold the Laws and Rules Committee meeting earlier.
I don't think you'll be able to do it. You do it a little later, but I don't think you can do it earlier.
I don't know.
They're meeting at 6:30. I think I have 6:30.
Who?
6:30. Yeah, the Laws and Rules meets at 6:30. We haven't changed, because we changed it for the summer.
For the summer. And we haven't changed it back yet.
Yeah.
So we could ask them to start that meeting at 7. You want to ask them to start this meeting at 7? Start your meeting at 4:30?
That does not even count. Yeah, before it about 14th at 4:30.
That's why they moved it to 6:30.
14th at 4:30. They scheduled a solid waste thing. I'm going to be here, but I'll get it moved.
I'm happy for
it.
The
14th
is better for me.
14th at 4:30. Is that good for everybody?
Except for Herb.
Except for
Herb. 6 o'clock on the
14th. I'll try to get her earlier. I'll do the best I can.
Laws and rules.
But again,
it starts at 6:30, but they can get pushed to 7.
I can be in and out. I mean,
who's not the Laws and Rules?
Yeah, and Dave's on it too. The majority.
You have to be in the meeting to vote, but we can go in and vote real quick.
You couldn't let. Yeah, but I mean, if you have a problem with.
I understand. Oh, and Dave's on Laws and Rules too.
Yeah,
so
the majority of the committee is on it.
So if you start at 4:30,
so have a corridor meeting instead of Laws and Rules and Laws. You're already there.
So what happened to the 8th, anyway? Was he out? The 8th was no good for Ken?
So the 10th is out.
If you could get rid of both of those, the 8th is not good.
We'll do what I can possibly do, but I got to find out.
Like I said, if I'm the only one who has a problem with the 8th, let's do it on the 8th.
You have an 8th that you have, but you have to be somewhere at 7, you said, right?
Yeah.
So if we had a 4:30 meeting,
but again, the 4:30 meeting runs into the same Herb problem. And Carl has trouble getting here. A lot of people have trouble getting here early, so... I would hate to be.
You'd have to get to Strive.
All right.
What?
On the 8th, you'd have to go to the Strive building.
What's happening in the Strive?
That's not a big deal. Well, because if you went there at 4:30, my meeting would start at 5, and I could only make it start at 4:30 or whatever.
Okay.
Or case scenario, I can. I can work.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Right now, it's going to be tentatively between the 8th and the 14th, one of those 2 days. We know that Ken will have a problem on the 8th, that the 14th, if we start too early, it's going to be a push for Herb either way. But let's see what happens on Thursday. Let's see if we get one response. Let's see if we get five responses.
I can try to get here by 4:30, 4:45.
On the 8th?
Yeah.
It would be at the Strive building.
The PCE.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that would be behind the PCE high school, right?
We could change all
You're
that
talking about the 14th Herb or the 8th?
Well, let you and I figure out what's happening.
That's set in stone. I made the meeting there. That's all.
And let's see what's happening. Let's you and I figure out what's happening with your meetings on the 8th. So it's between the 8th and the 14th. We'll confirm that. Those are the two dates that we're looking at. We'll confirm that because I also think if we have a lot of responses, it's going to have to be on the 8th so that we can set, so that we can use the 14th for interviews before Herb leaves.
And what time on the 8th?
The earliest would be 4:30. And we're going to see what Dave can do with his meetings, because if Dave can totally move his meetings, then we might make it later. We'll talk about this. Right. We'll figure
it out. He needs the 4:30. Ken does.
Yes, but he said if he's the only one, then we'll have to, you know, again, we're going to see how many, we're going to see what we get on the response. So everyone hold.
Meeting. I may push that out for 6 and then cancel the other one.
Everyone hold the 8th and the 14th, okay? But you'll know on Friday which day it's going to be. Okay. Let's see, is there anything... Okay, any new business? Dave.
Margaret, I sent an email out in reference to the request for information or request for interest, however you want to refer to it. And I really think in order for whoever the consultant is to come up with an idea, in other words, what's best, is they'd have to know if there's anybody actually interested in doing a railroad. Mm-hmm. You know, the two-mile run, the so-called... the no-plan two-mile run, or you can get the one from the Plaza to Glenford Dyke, or one all the way. And I think that should be requested out. If nobody responds, then it helps answer the question, doesn't it?
I
now, if you do have a response.
What do you want to send out?
I didn't get this email, but you and I have spoken about it, so I know what you're talking about.
I got the email, but I didn't.
In other words, a request for information. We have no idea if a railroad or someone is willing to say, hey, when Mike Hine give it some kind of two-mile thing, but absolutely no plan with it. So we want to know if there is somebody that wants to do that. Because if they do, then fine. And we also need to know if somebody would want to do a Plaza to Glenford Dyke, which is typically the spot to go to, or from the Plaza all the way to Phoenicia. We do not know.
Well, let me ask you this.
Ken Ron.
How do you do a request for interest or on something that physically can't be done right now? I could put in a proposal. Yeah, I'd love to do a run from the Kingston Plaza.
Why can't it physically be done?
Because the railroad track in between the Kingston Plaza and the Glenford Dyke isn't Class 1. You can't right now until it's upgraded. Can't do that.
That would be the whole point. Is somebody would say, yeah, I can upgrade that to that point. It's not a lot of money to upgrade that. Believe me, to get to that point. So they needed for a Class 1. So the point is that. We do not know if somebody would come in and say, yes, I could do that upgrade with no problem, and this is what I would expect from the county, or this is what I would give to the county. I don't know. I mean, some people actually put millions of dollars into railroads. They put money into it. Some counties do that. Some counties don't. But, I mean, the point is, I do not know.
Hold on. Let's go back and forth. So we have Carl and
Jeanette.
But we're
looking at take a look at the policy, are we not?
Consider this. The lease is up in May. Mm-hmm. Of 16.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to spend up to $30,000 on a consultant to give us the highest and best use of that rail line. In 2016, is the county going to go out to bid for a historic railroad or not?
That's our policy.
That's our policy. Okay.
What we're going to do.
All right. Now, if we only have one railroad, and I don't mean to... bash, you know, the Catskill Mountain Railroad, but they don't have a good relationship with the administration right now, and we only have one railroad. I think it makes sense at least to do a request for information for other railroads, you know, with the assumption that in 2016 there's going to be another RFP to figure out what we're going to do with the historic rail line, whether it's going to, you know, if there's only one bidder, I don't know what's going to happen. Are they going to get it again if there's only one bidder in 2016, or... we can abandon it.
Hey, Jeanette?
I thought the purpose of the request for proposal was to hire somebody who's going to go through all the studies, and we, this committee, is going to determine what's the best use of the corridor. if it's determined it's a railroad, that's the time you'll go out to see who's interested. If it's just a trail, why would you want to go out then and ask somebody if you're interested? This committee is charged with coming up with what we want to do once we have all the information, all in a request for proposal. Otherwise, this is a waste of time.
Herb, and then Dave.
I agree with Jeanette in that that is the charge for this committee. But if the railroad committee wanted to put out an RFP asking for railroads to put in proposals for the possibility of a new contract after the existing contract is up in 2016, that's the prerogative of the railroad committee.
Dave?
Well, I respectfully disagree with that on that one. The reason I disagree with that is that we are charged to find out what is the best use for that corridor. In order to know what the best use for the corridor, we have to know what people want to use the corridor for. If we don't have any interest, it doesn't show that. And when we go to do our RFP now with this new consultant, and they could say, well, we really don't have a lot of interest here. You just got a Catskill Mountain Railroad here. And okay, that'd be fine. That'd be weighed. But if you had something else and you had somebody, a name group that said, yeah, we could do that. But it's going to maybe they'll say, well, we could do that, but we'll need $500,000 from the county, or we'll need $1 million, or we could do it on our own, but we would expect this. But in order to know that, we'd have to ask for that information. And if we ask for that information and we got that information back, then this consultants could then turn around and say, well, yeah, we see this. If you take a look at, you know, there's other places like in the Adirondacks and, you know, particularly in other places in other states, you know, that have done double ones or whatever. We have not been very successful with rail and trail in New York. They have not done it very successfully here as they have in other states. So I don't know, there could be somebody, another railroad in Pennsylvania or somewhere else that may be interested in looking at it. And if they are...
Can I ask a follow-on from Herb, and then Herb, I have you next. What's your resistance to the Railroad Advisory Committee being the one to send out that request?
Because
if you think
it's... two committees working against each other then.
Right, then I would say that we'd be working against each other in a sense, yeah. I mean, this committee right now... This committee right now is charged to find out what's the best
use
for this corridor.
And that includes rail or trail.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you'd have to know what is being offered. We don't know.
Okay, Herb.
I won't beat the dead horse, but if I were going to look to place an airport somewhere, I would go to an airport committee for their expertise. I would think if we were considering a railroad utilizing the right-of-way as opposed to a trail or anything else, I would go to the railroad committee to ascertain whether that was viable or not, because they deal with railroads.
Yeah, just to add my two cents, I've long felt that information is power, and months and months and months ago, I made a similar suggestion before there was this committee, saying, well, why don't we just cast a wide net and see what comes back? What concerns me now, and I don't know, first of all, I don't know if it would be an RFI or an RFP. I got you next. And second of all, I think if you cast, if we're not semi-specific, case in point, our current RFP, if we're not semi-specific, you know, I don't know that it's even going to be a clear answer as to interest. If we just say, hey, everybody out there in the whole world, is anyone interested in the 2 mile, the 4 mile, or the whole corridor, you know, and tell us what you're going to do, we might not get very many responses. Or versus if this committee comes with a kind of a focused recommendation and says, this is what we really want to look, even if we don't have a final answer, if we say, this is what we think we're thinking of, and this is where we'd like to focus, we might take that focus and say, now we want to craft an RFP, seeing if there's anyone who can actually do this thing that we'd like to know that we might want to pursue and suggest. Because obviously we know the lease is coming on the end. So, and on top of that, just having gone through this timing, which with this RFP, which was very compressed, even if today we said, we're going to do an RFI or an RFP for looking at rail and all of its possible combinations, we might not even get it back until pretty close to when we're directed to be done. Because when you look at this calendar, I mean, we're going to be hiring a consultant mid-September for a return late November, where we have only 4 meetings scheduled from the hiring to the next. I mean, yep, we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to have a lot more meetings. So the turn time on that might even be compressed. But, Kenrock,
you... I mean, my argument on why not to do it, at least not now, before we get through the process that we're already doing, is, you know, what you want to put out there if there's interest. But again, there's not any mechanism for us to judge the ability to accomplish what they're saying that they could accomplish. I don't know what purpose it serves. 25 years ago, the Catskill Mountain Railroad signed a lease saying that they were going to rehab the entire corridor. And one of the reasons that we're in the spot that we did is people said, oh, yeah, they can do that. And it turns out they couldn't. So.
Dave, do you want to have Manna?
I'll let Manna go first. I've been talking already.
Thank you. I think one of the things that affects the decision is the cost. And that's been brought up a lot. And if there was somebody out there that was interested in, that saw enough value, that was interested in finding a way to rehab the corridor, that's something we should know, because, you know, the consultant will help us to sort out costs. That's why we're bringing a consultant on board, and to understand whether some of these costs are inflated or some combination of a private, public, volunteer partnership could keep the costs down. There are all kinds of possibilities. But that's why I think, you know, running a flag up a flagpole just to see if there's any interest at all and if it could, you know, keep the costs to a point that it makes sense for the county, for the legislature to make a recommendation to use some or part, I mean, part or all of the corridor for active rail. I'd like to know that, and I definitely think it should be an RFI. I think it would be impossible for us to develop an RFP till we go through the process. But floating an RFI and just saying, basically, is anyone interested in, you know, running a rail with trail, or however it's going to be worded, in along this corridor, and basically advertising it and seeing if there's any interest, I think would inform our final. And I know it's rushed, but I don't think it has to be. This had to be tight because it was a contract. This is a request for information, which is not a contract. It's just, you know, to see if anybody has any preliminary proposal they might want to make and call to our attention.
Dave?
Right, that's what I was basically going to say. It's very similar to what you said, is that this is much more difficult to do. Because this, like I said, it's a contract. It's very specific. Where the other one is less specific. It's more of a, in other words, hey, what do you think? Can you do this? And do you have any ideas of what you could do with this from a railroad? And so they don't. It has to be much less specific. It has to be. In fact, it should be. It shouldn't be too specific.
Well, without specificity, how much response do you expect to get? I mean, that's the thing.
Well, maybe
I can build a railroad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would get that. Why would you get that? If people don't have the ability to do that, they're not going to be putting
on. I got Herb and then Jeanette.
I mean, if they don't have any ability to do that, have never done it, they're not going to be bidding on something. Like, it's got to be somebody that has some kind of background.
It's not bidding.
Well, not bidding, but no, they're not going to be sending in for information. They're just not going to do it.
I don't know. Herb?
Manna Jo must have been reading my mental notes, and she said it more eloquently than I can. But I think you're getting confused with an RFP and interest. We're putting out an RFP for something specific. If you're looking for interest, you just simply put it out there, and If no one responds, there is no interest. That answers that question. If you get two or three or four railroad companies or whomever to say, hey, I might be interested, well, then there's interest. I know a guy who bought a railroad bridge for $1, and it went nowhere until all of a sudden people took interest in it. And now it's a multi-million dollar park. Mm-hmm. You don't know that unless somebody asks the question. Yeah. And you're not looking for an RFP.
But are you reversing what you said earlier then?
What's that?
In terms of, like, based on that, it sounds like what's the problem with then floating the question?
I didn't say. I said, like you said, information. Yes, exactly. That's what I said. There is a railroad committee, and I would assume that's what they would do as being a railroad committee. Okay. If we wanted to put a railroad from New Paltz to Highland, you would go to the railroad committee because they're the experts in railroad.
And then that information would inform this committee's...
Right. That's the way I envision it.
So, like, Jeanette? Put an ad in Railroad Magazine or something weekly?
Well, if you get nothing, if you get nothing, there's no interest.
Identify who to send it to.
There's Rough End of Railroad Magazine.
Is there? I don't even know.
Is there a Railroad Magazine?
Okay, Jeanette, and then I have you.
Yeah, we've we've had a number of meetings, and I thought I understood what our charge was. You're talking about changing the charge of this committee.
No, I'm not, because it's not for this committee to do.
Not you, but what's been proposed. Is changing the charge of this committee. This request for... Why do we need this guy then for? Why don't we just send out a request for information on trails, on railroad? You'll be right back where you started from. Let's finish first.
Can I let Lynn go first because she hasn't spoken yet? And then you can...
The only thing I would say, and I agree that if there's an interest or an attempt to find out interest, let the railroad committee do it. We have all these other data points that are informed from multiple areas. Let that just be another data point that comes through the railroad committee that informs as we're going through the process versus it have it be here. I mean, at the end of the day, what we are supposed to come back with is, what do we recommend? Do we recommend a change in policy? Do we recommend further exploration? What have you? But until we go through this process and again, look at the data that's out there and question it and pull it apart, which, you know, some folks haven't even looked at. So let's look at the data and let's get that. And if the railroad committee wants to find out if there is an interest, that, to me, makes perfect sense.
Okay, I've got Ken.
One of my concerns with sending out a broad request for interest in a number of things. Dave had brought up the 2 mile or to the Glenford Dyke or to the whole way or whatever, you know, whatever amount of them you want. I have a worry that the vendors would try and discourage us from having a certain policy a certain way. It leaves open the possibility of, I don't want to say collusion because that's not the right way to put it, but of the vendors who may be interested in, you know, Kingston to Hurley Mountain Road, the 2 miles there, or Kingston to 28A. But they would prefer Kingston to the Glenford Dyke because that would provide them the most opportunity for business development.
Mm-hmm.
But as a committee, we may only be wanting in the end to recommend that Kingston to Hurley Mountain Road or Kingston to 28A is the area that should be for rail. So none of the railroad companies bid, send in their proposal or their interest in doing the 2 mile run. So then that influences the committee to say, oh, well, they wouldn't have been interested. But if that was the only option on the table, they may have been interested. That's my concern with doing this now before we get into the policy discussions.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'd have to go back to the same thing. How do you know what's best if you don't have the other people's information there? I mean, I don't get that. But if you want the Railroad Committee to do that, maybe you should direct the Railroad Committee to do that. requests that the Railroad Committee sends out these requests for information.
I'm on the Railroad Committee, but I don't support that.
Well, then that's the whole point. Why not? Why don't you support it? That's why I can't understand.
I just
in other words, why would you not want? Why would you not want the information?
It's not that I don't want the information. I'm concerned that the information could be of the nature intended to spoil the deliberations of this committee.
Well, the way the way that I would think that the one way to help avoid that, if the Railroad Commission or someone sends out an RFI, is not to set up specific, not to say the 2 miles here and the 2 miles here, but just to say, we have a corridor, what's the interest in the corridor, in whole or in part? Make us, you know, come back with your proposal. Someone might say 2 miles, someone might say 10, someone might say all 36, someone might say something we didn't expect, but not to at all give suggestions in terms of breaking it out. That I think would be the best way not to influence the responses or to allow the responses to be influenced.
Let the responses come back.
Again, I just don't see a scenario where when you leave something open as open-ended as that, I don't see a scenario where they come back with the smallest option or even the medium option. Why wouldn't they just go for broke? They don't have to prove that they can do it.
Well, that would be the next step. It's just information.
We're doing the same thing.
If they have to invest $100 million to go to the Glenford Dyke or they have to invest $1 million to go to 28, that's an economic decision for them to make.
But again, in this, they're not. Are we putting in this RFI that, you know, that the cost of rehabilitating the railroad will be borne by the vendor? Or are we going to allow them to assume that the county is going to put up $100 million to go to the Glenford Dyke or $80 million to go to 28A? I mean, again, it is an economic decision when you're doing an RFP and they have to show you how they're going to accomplish it. But when you're doing something like this, it's an invitation for another
three.
Wait, I have to.
If you had an opportunity to read the proposal that the executive had placed on a table for the legislature to consider, it is all at the cost of the vendor. None of it. They would have to bear all the cost.
Mm-hmm. Under the county executive's
proposal.
But, again, I don't know that that's what this committee is going to come back with.
Well,
maybe there's a matter.
And I agree with you. I mean, I think we have a committee. We've been meeting. This conversation could have been had the first day of the committee.
We have had this.
It was. I added it the very first day.
Yeah.
This is at least the third time we've had this conversation. Yeah, I think we've all said the same thing every time.
You had the conversation, so obviously not enough people felt it was anything to act on. All right. Well, otherwise, we wouldn't be here 2 months later talking about something.
Well, I think it goes back to the fact that there are a lot of unknowns in terms of what interest is out there and what possibility exists.
Well, that's why we're doing this. This committee.
Right.
This is our charge.
Okay,
so
Dave.
I'm not in favor of
Dave, this is our charge. This, what I just said, is part of our charge, as far as I'm concerned, and that's what I thought was part of our charge when we came into this committee. Otherwise, to me, this committee is starting to become another arm of the trail committee, because they're not asking for the information. Well, you know what? You keep on talking about all these other things with the trail, but none of that is proven either. The amount of money
at all.
How much money are we going to put into the trail? How much money are we putting into it? We have no numbers, real numbers yet.
We don't have a plan for the trail yet, Dave.
Exactly. And the amount of money.
Numbers.
So how much money is it? So what you're doing is you're cutting off a part of the information that should be out here.
I don't agree.
Well, you have a conclusion then.
Okay. I'd like an answer. Somebody, please help me here. I thought the purpose of this committee was for us to make a recommendation to the full legislature as to what we want to do, what do we feel is in the best interest of the county for the corridor. I thought that's our charge. In order to get to that point, we all decided, as I recall, to hire a consultant because we got some studies say this, some study, well, some of them, you know, we got to find out.
And there's a lot of emotion, a lot of differing opinions.
So even within the don't understand. If the end result, the consultant says, you know, that corridor is great for, I don't know, 8 miles of rail and a rest trail. Well, then you'd want to go out for a request for information to find out, does anybody have an interest? How could you go out for a request for interest when we haven't decided what direction we're going to go?
Yeah, I can see both arguments. Is this Manna?
Yeah, I just want to say that the Railroad Advisory Committee has focused on more on the day-to-day management of the Catskill Mountain Railroad's relationship to the railroad and to the lease and the county, except for what we can't talk about because it's under litigation. But that, you know, what progress is being made, what are the results of the various events and so forth. To me, and it's one of the reasons I urge that we not retire the Railroad Advisory Committee in favor of this committee, I thought there should be both because I see it as two different functions. To me, that's more day-to-day. And this is planning for the future. That's why I think if we're going to do an RFI, it should come out of here rather than there.
Do we have the enabling legislation for the Railroad Advisory Committee? Do you have that?
It's in the contract.
Is it good for
the contract with the
Catskill Mountain Railroad.
Okay. Carl. Jim, sorry. Jim.
And then
okay.
we Carl, reestablished Jim, it a couple Dave. Years ago.
I mean, I see both sides of the story, but I think it is a slippery slope because we can't just go and see if there's interest in the railroad. We have to also see if there's interest in the trail. I think there has to be, you know, and, I don't know, an alpine slide. I think it would make a great alpine slide.
It's pretty flat.
What I'm saying is, if we're going to try to find interest in the railroad, I think we have to give equal time for interest in the trail. I always wanted this to be an objective group of, you know, delivering new parking. That would be the fair thing to do. I would love to see that because who knows? Maybe it could be a 23-mile theme park.
Well, this may also be a discussion that. Hopefully we choose a consultant. Hopefully we have consultants to choose from. This may also be a discussion we have in, you know, 2 weeks from now with a consultant saying, we've had some disagreements at the table, but, you know, what do you think and would it hurt to get this out there so that we have this information back? In terms of whether it comes from this committee or the Railroad Advisory Committee, that's something for future. That's from future.
Because otherwise it's a slanted attempt. Try to save the railroad or whatever in this committee.
I don't see it as an attempt to do anything other than get information.
But if there's
first time.
I move we adjust the table.
I'm just saying. It would be better served in the railroad.
You should consider that.
That was what we were doing at the very first.
Definitely do that. I don't see why.
To me, you and I, we had this conversation. I also had it with Lynn. Now she changes her mind, but. We had this conversation once before and said that that was what we were supposed to do.
I know. Yeah. I definitely have thought about this for a long time.
I mean, this conversation was had many times, and my understanding at one time I had the conversation with Lynn, you agreed with that we should be sending out for that, and so did you. So that was the conversation that we had before about having a request for information.
Yeah, let me clarify what I said.
Go ahead.
I can't attribute how you interpret it. What I did say is that at the end of this process, an outcome could be we're out there looking at the whole. I mean, we haven't even delved into all of the detail. We have spent the last couple meetings talking about the RFP to bring in a consultant to help us have the conversation that we're all struggling with because it is a hot topic with polarizing perspectives. Without the consultant to help us figure out the next steps, you know, we keep having the same conversation over and over and over again. I'm not saying that we don't end up with an RFI, something to that effect, saying, you know, as Tracy said, here's the corridor, what would you do with it?
But, you know, how many, you know, we haven't even gone even into any of the detail and looked at and had any conversation other than the RFP. And so,
correct.
That's...
And that was one of the first things. My understanding of this committee was that they were going to look for some of that information. When I had the conversation with you and Ken, we and Tracy, we had this conversation, and that was one of the reasons I kind of agreed with the committee. I said, okay, you're actually going to look out and really look at both sides of this issue.
Well, we are going to look at both sides of the issue, and I see both sides of the argument with regard to the RFI, but with regard to where the RFI would come out of, I just asked Fawn to get the Railroad Advisory Committee, which I hadn't even considered before her brought it up. But in the resolve, it says, the Ulster County Legislature hereby appoints the following individuals to the Ulster County Railroad Advisory Committee for the purpose of continuing the ongoing efforts of the previous Railroad Advisory Committee and to explore innovative means in which the railroad, which is lowercase, general railroad, could be utilized to enhance economic development in Ulster County. So, definitely based on this, it could certainly be within the purview of that committee and could have been done months ago. I mean, I do think that with an impending ending lease, like information is power. It can't hurt to find out what interest is out there in a general sense, but maybe it is something you want to do from that committee. We could talk about it more. I don't think we're going to solve it tonight. I think our next step really is to get these RFP responses scored and have a meeting. So again, I want to reiterate the 8th. Everybody's holding the 8th. Everybody's holding the 14th. Our next regularly scheduled meeting is the 16th, which we're going to have to look at how we go with the 8th and or the 14th. So I will talk to you, Dave, tomorrow about the 8th. And everyone on Friday when you pick up...
Do you have a meeting on the 8th or a meeting now? Because I'm going to be putting that out. We'll be working on that.
Okay, but we need to talk about potentially the possibility if you can move.
Right,
move
I might not be able to because I got work.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that offline. And then, so you'll know on Friday what day the meeting is, whether it's 8 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, I'll ask that Carol, but Carol's going to be away a bunch, or Mark, whoever the contact person is for questions, I'll ask that contact information be put in your packet. And tomorrow we'll confirm the answer to the question with regard to checking references. So everyone will get that answer.
Well, Fawn, will I be able to pick the package up tomorrow around, Friday. I'm sorry, early?
Mark said they'll be ready early. I don't know what early means. We'll find out.
Ready.
But he said they'll be ready.
After 9.
I'm guessing they'll be ready pretty early.
I can ask him if he can have somebody that early. At least have
because I'm going to be up here around that quarter after 9.
Okay, I can ask. And if anybody else can't get here and needs me to bring it to them, I've talked to Herb and Ken and Tracy and Lynn that we could possibly bring it to them. If you can't get up here, let me know. And because I think it's good for you to have it that holiday weekend.
Okay, so then everyone will coordinate directly with Fawn regarding the pickup. And please, Manny, you came late. If you could sign your confidentiality form and give it to Fawn in case, just in case there's some alternate way you're picking it up. And then everyone got a zip drive with the starting list. Ernie, I'm not sure Ernie has a copy as well, because Ernie, Kathy, Chris White, if there are additions, Chris mentioned Elise, if there are additions, I'll cross-reference them up. We've gotten a lot of long lists from everybody, so we'll cross-reference them again. But again, in the shorthand, as you look at them, if there's things you think are left out, please notify Fawn, and Fawn will let me know, and we'll make either a second zip drive if we need, or we'll email documents directly to the committee in preparation for working with the consultant. And Friday morning, I will make sure Fawn sends out an email to everyone, potentially Thursday night, depending on how many responses we got, because that will also clarify the date. So,
when is it due? 3 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So
at 5 o'clock, we'll know how many we have.
We'll just
at
let everybody know.
We'll know how many we have. And I will get that out before I leave on Thursday.
Great.
Are you here on Friday?
I'm here.
Oh.
Tim, you've got yours. And Jeanette, you have yours?
Yeah, I'm going to give it.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.